That's taken! What a catch! My goodness me! Jess Johnson, have a look at the smile!
Finger goes up, excellent over so far from DeAndre Dutton.
You're listening to Ladies Who Leg Spin.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Ladies Who Leg Spin. I'm Brittany Carter and sitting beside me is Mary Kay. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Britt. How are you going?
Good, thanks. How are you dealing with all the cricket at the moment?
It is just eat, sleep, cricket, repeat. And I think Britt will get onto this later in the Big Bash segment, but I keep falling asleep at the end of the games. I'm a nana now and they're just on a little bit too late.
We're both a bit bleary-eyed, aren't we?
I think so. But look, loving the cricket.
Yeah.
I don't want it to end.
No complaints.
Just a little tired. A little bit tired.
Okay, so before we get into our Women's Big Bash segment, and we're going to talk to Holly Furling a little bit later, which we're both
so
really excited about. Let's talk about a little bit of a controversial tweet that was put up about Alyssa Healy using Mitchell Starc's bat. Mary, I'm going to let you take the lead on this one because you've got some pretty good points.
Okay, so in the Sixers' four-wicket win over the Scorchers on Monday afternoon, Alyssa Healy was again in outstanding form. So she scored 46 off 31 balls, and that added to the 241 runs she's already scored this season. So following that knock, Cricket Australia tweeted, "Even on a day off, Mitchell Starc has managed to help impact a match." Now, for those of you who don't know, Alyssa is married to Australian cricketer Mitchell Starc. So apparently, because Alyssa borrowed Mitch's bat, this was enough for a tweet to suggest that he had had an impact on the match. Now, when we think about all the issues facing women in sport, this isn't a massive deal. I think it's just worth highlighting as an example of lazy journalism. And I was sort of thinking about it like this. In the Thunder's game in the men's this week against the Hurricanes, Carlos Braithwaite, who is one of the Thunder's newest recruits, was wearing Pat Cummins' shoes and was using Hayley Matthews' bat. I saw neither one of those players credited for Braithwaite's 2 wickets in 3 overs and 6 runs off 4 balls. You just wouldn't do it when it comes to men, so let's not do it when it comes to the women's.
No, you wouldn't. And I think Alyssa Healy and Mitchell Starc both dealt with that really well.
They did.
On Twitter, they sort of called it out and then everyone jumped on the back of them. So I'm not sure if Cricket Australia then went on and changed the name of the article or their tweet.
I think they've recently published an article talking about Alyssa Healy and the bat that she found in the garage, but I just think it was an example of lazy journalism, that's all.
Yeah, and another sort of way that we need to be thinking about the way we talk about women's cricket.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a big point as well. So only 6 games have been played since we last recorded. We're coming to you a little bit earlier, which makes it easier for us in a sense to go through everything that's happened. So the Melbourne Stars, they've played a second match against the Melbourne Renegades since we last recorded. And the Stars also beat the Strikers. Mary, what did you think about these games?
Britt, I'm really happy that you brought up the Stars first because they're definitely a team I want to talk about because they broke their 4-match losing streak this week when they beat the Strikers by 6 wickets. And I think the person that we all want to talk about is Kristen Beames, who's finally returned from injury and is one of our favourites on this show. So Meg Lanning pulled out of this match unexpectedly. I think she had a tight hamstring. So Kristen Beames stepped in and was the captain and had bowling figures of 3 for 12. She was so close to getting a hat trick as well, Britt. She was so close.
Went for the appeal too.
I thought it was close and the umpire sort of looked at it for a really long time and I thought maybe he was going to give it out, but he didn't.
Yeah, she only got the call up to be the captain 2 minutes before the coin toss. And I don't think she's had a whole heap of captaincy experience before that. I mean, she's done some captaining in the Tasmanian Junior sort of cricket league and the Victorian grade scene, but nothing like this. And she sort of said at the end of the game, "I'm happy to give that back to Meg Lanning. Meg, come back."
This is sort of something that I've been thinking about watching so much cricket this summer and how difficult and challenging it is to be a captain and how aware you have to be about what's going on around the field. Certainly not something that I could do, and kudos to captains that are very clever and are able to manage their team in that way.
Exactly. There's a lot you've got to think about at once, isn't there? You've got to set your field right. And the other thing is that it falls on your head. You have a horrible win. It falls on you and you've got to sort of pick everyone back up, even though you might be feeling not so great after that too. So it is a huge deal. And I mean, that's why we see great captains lead great sides to such victories. The other thing I wanted to point out about this game is that Beamsy took some great wickets. Mm-hmm. As you said, she had some great figures. But it made me think about the spinning and how it's really still affecting women's cricket. So I made a comment watching the Perth Scorchers and the Sydney Sixers earlier this week. about Lauren Smith taking 4 wickets in that game. And obviously, you know Lauren.
She's our mate Lauren, our little mate Lauren Smith.
Our second guest on this show who was an off-spinner. And it started to make me think, yeah, wow, spin is still really having an effect in the women's game. And then that very night, Hayley Matthews took 5 wickets. So I've pulled up the records for the most wickets in the season so far. 7 of the top 10 bowlers in this comp are currently spinners. So 6 are offies and 1's left arm orthodox. That's pretty interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is pretty interesting. Is Hayley Matthews at the top of that list?
She is at the top. You're right, with 16 wickets.
That's right. I just wanted everyone to know that I knew that stat.
Lucky I've got it handy. I'm prepared for you.
It was
throw something at me.
It's something we've been asking a lot of our guests, and I think you're right that spin is really king in this competition, and some of the women are struggling to face the spin bowlers.
Completely. And I mean, when you look at Hayley Matthews, I just mentioned that before, 5 for 19. How are those figures? They're incredible, aren't they?
Absolutely incredible. That was definitely my highlight when we talk about the Hurricanes. But I'm really excited for the Hurricanes' next game against the Sixers. I think that's going to be match of the round, because we spoke about the Scorchers and the Sixers last week, and the Sixers absolutely dominated. But this clash, I think, is going to be very interesting because they're two teams that are very well-rounded. Like, we've seen the Sixers be outstanding with the bat, and I think that really stood out in their game against the Scorchers, because Alyssa Healy and Elise Perry both got out cheaply, but then their middle order really stepped up, particularly Ashley Gardner. I mentioned that she's only 19 years old,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah.
So they really stepped up, and they've been very good with the bowling. And again, with the Hurricanes, we spoke last week about how 4 of their batsmen have scored over 100 runs this season. It's going to be a really good match, I think.
They're the top two, aren't they, at the moment? Which is funny enough, because Sydney Sixers just beat the Perth Scorchers in 2 back-to-back matches, and they were the top two at that
stage. That's right.
So Sydney Sixers now sit 2 games clear of anyone else. It gets very, very tight when you look a little bit further down the ladder. So in 2nd, 3rd, 4th and 5th spot, everyone's tied on 5 wins. A net run rate is just dividing those teams. So it is really tight. There's still room for another team to jump into that top spot. Sydney Thunder are a little bit below that, unfortunately.
But they haven't played as many games as some of those other teams, so they haven't been in action this week while we've seen the Sixers play the Scorchers twice.
And I'm glad you brought us back to the Scorchers, because we need to talk about their games against the Sixers. So you and I were both at Hurstville Oval for the first match of those two teams. Great games, though, weren't they?
Yeah, they were great games. Very entertaining. And there were a lot of kids out there. There was a great vibe out at Hurstville Oval. So, no, it was great.
They came very close, the Scorchers. You mentioned before that Ash Gardner and Sarah McGlashan and some of the other girls have stepped up in the Sixers' side. Healy went for 3 and Perry went for a duck, thanks to the English Pacers, Shrubsole and Brunt in that game. So Ash Gardner stepped up, made 40 from 23 balls, 7 fours and 1 6. McGlashan made 36, and that included 4 fours. Meanwhile, Perth came close, but they just fell away in the back end. Susie Bates, incredible, top scored for 52 runs, also took the key wicket of McGlashan when it was her turn with the ball. And it sort of made me think, because Ash Gardner was given player of the match in the end, but a Perth player made the most runs and took the most wickets. So Anya Shrubsole took the most wickets at 2 for 20, and yet Ash Gardner was awarded that player of the match spot. What do you think about this, Mary? Should we be giving it to like someone like Susie Bates, who top scored and took a wicket?
I think it's that point of it being very rare that a person on the losing team receives player of the match, which I'm not really sure how I feel about that. I think it's a shame that they wouldn't receive that award, particularly if they were the best on ground.
Yeah. At the end of
the day. But Ash Gardner was great.
Yeah, she was great. And I'm not saying she didn't deserve it as well. But I think when you look at the grand scheme of things, sometimes it's just easier to give it to the winning side. Anyway, in the second game at the SCG, the Scorchers came very, very close again, although Villani and Bates went early this time, and Heather Graham and Lauren Ebsari, meanwhile, stepped up and made 37. Something that's a little bit interesting, actually, was that both Villani and Bates went for 7. Lauren Ebsari, Heather Graham both went for 37. And Shrubsole and King, while one of them was not out, they both made 3. So I thought that was a little bit funny with 3 pairs of them making the exact same runs. And we talked about Alyssa Healy and Elise Perry going cheaply in the game before, but Alyssa Healy especially came out and had a field day. She made 46, hit 6 fours and 1 6. And Perry backed that up once she got out with 38. And Ash Gardner, McGlashan didn't fire, but Danae Vanderkerk kept them alive with the 20 she made. And Sarah Alley, She was the unexpected star of the match because the Sixers needed 5 runs from 6 balls, and Susie Bates elected herself to bowl that. Yeah, to be the death bowler in that pressure situation. Unfortunately, Sarah Alley was able to do the job for the Sixers and hit 2 fours behind backwards point and bring up the match for them. So credit to the Sixers winning back-to-back games, especially with those 2 teams at the top of the clutter, is a really big win, isn't it?
Absolutely. And can I also talk about Lauren Smith?
Of course.
She bowled the death overs for the Sixers and ended up with figures of 4 for 23 through what I thought was some very clever bowling. The Sixers are looking a lot better than they did at this time last year. So I'm really excited, as I said, about their game against the Hobart Hurricanes.
Yeah, so the Hurricanes played the Heat twice since we last recorded, and the Heat won the first, where they won by 15 runs. Beth Mooney, absolute class. She had a great knock, made 78 from 60, which has now become the 3rd highest top score in the competition. And Jess Jonathan joined her for the last 37 balls. The two made 33 together. What do you think about Brisbane leading up in their next 2 games?
Brisbane, for me, are a very inconsistent team, and we've seen that they've been able to beat teams once but not beat them again. So mm-hmm. as we're talking about them in relation to the Hurricanes, they won one but lost the other. In that loss, though, it wasn't all doom and gloom for the Heat. Mandana, I thought, was outstanding again. She scored 40 from 33 balls and just made it look so easy. Like, she hit 6 boundaries and it was just absolutely effortless. The Heat are up against the Renegades next, and for me, this is a must-win game for both teams if they want to play in the finals.
Yeah, I think it's starting to get to that stage, isn't it? Especially because those two, well, the Brisbane Heat are in that competition for the middle part of
Absolutely.
The ladder, but especially the Renegades sitting at bottom. They need to win these 2 games if they want to, you know, keep any finals hopes alive. And Brisbane, I think it's key for them too because it's just so tight at the moment.
Absolutely. And look, the Renegades, I spoke about them last week as being a very interesting team. We know that if Rachel Priest and Grace Harris fire, that they can win. And they've proven that they can beat some of the top teams in the competition. So I think we're coming to a really exciting point in the season because anyone can still make the finals.
Completely. And the Renegades have made some changes in their batting lineup to try and fix the problems they're having. So Sophie Molyneux's been promoted to opener, and that seems to be sort of working at the moment. I mean, they won 2 games against Melbourne Stars. Whether you bring in Duckworth Lewis or not, they won those two games. And yeah, if they can keep their momentum going, we might see a comeback like the Sixers.
Absolutely.
Now, there's 2 teams we haven't talked about yet, and that's the Strikers and the Thunder. What about the Thunder, Mary, in their upcoming games?
Look, for me, it's make or break for the Sydney Thunder as well. So they've now had quite a bit of time off, I think almost over a week by the time that they face the Sixers on Saturday. It's going to be a really tough game for them because we've spoken about the Sixers and they're very strong with the bat, so their bowling is going to have to be exceptional. And then we've also spoken about the Sixers and their bowling too, so they've got danger all over the field. And if the Thunder don't win this game, I don't see them making the finals.
And what about the Strikers? What do you think about their upcoming games?
Well, look, I think it's looking a lot better than what we thought last week because Sophie Devine has come back.
Yeah. Have to say, I don't know where I got that information. I can't remember now, but incorrect. She is flying in between Wellington's games and the big bash for the Strikers, so she is back.
That's good news for them, but they do face the Scorchers next. And the Scorchers are coming off the back of 2 losses and will want to remedy that and work their way back to the top of the table.
Completely. And I mean, the Strikers now come off their 3rd straight loss. And to be fair, they were up against tough opponents. But Charlotte Edwards, let's be honest, hasn't had a great tournament. After making 2 amazing centuries in the WNCL, the highest score in the Big Bash so far for her has been 31. And Sophie Devine has had a little slump in her form.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, I know that they lost against the Sixers those back-to-back games, and that might have been because she was missing. Megan Shute, though, is still performing. Mm-hmm. So she dismissed Jess Cameron for a duck on Tuesday with LB, and she bowled her opening partner, Emma Inglis, eventually for 25. Apart from that, there's a big discrepancy in who's performing and who's not at the moment, and I think that if those players can just bring themselves up a little bit to the level of the other girls, that we might see a resurgence in their side.
Could be an exciting game.
Now, before we stop talking about the women's Big Bash and move on to the men's side of things, we're very well and truly into this competition as we sort of head towards the finals. So I'd like to look at some of the top runners in the comp so far. When I look at the most catches in this competition, Can you take a guess who's at the top?
I did have a look at this the other day, but no, I can't remember. It's not Sarah Ailey, is it?
No, we've got some batters up there.
Oh, really?
So Elise Villani, she's at the top with 8 catches. Meg Lanning with 6, mm-hmm. not bad on second. And Jess Cameron tied with her along with Ash Gardner, also 6 catches to their name. So I thought that was really interesting. The only century that's been made so far is by big hitter Sophie Devine with that 103 not out she made against the Hurricanes in Adelaide on Boxing Day. And also a big mention to Marianne Kapp and Meg Lanning again, leading the bowling and the batting rankings for the last 4 weeks in a row. A credit to those players, they're really performing and they deserve those rankings and the accolades that come with that.
Nice, Gary!
Now on to the men's format of the game. Mary, what were your 2 highlights from the men's Big Bash this week?
So I suppose my first one isn't really a highlight, but I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Scorchers game last night. So the Scorchers beat the Heat by 27 runs and there were 2 heroes in that game for me. The first one was Michael Klinger, who everyone knows I'm a really big fan of because he's the veteran and he scored 81 off 54 balls. And this was a pretty crucial knock in an innings where the next highest score was 14. This game, I think, really demonstrated to me why the Scorchers are such a force. They only scored 156 runs, which is a pretty low total.
But they defended it, didn't they?
Exactly. That is what they are so good at. They're bowling and they're fielding and defending those low totals. And the Heat without Chris Lynn is a little bit different. Brent, what are you thinking about that?
I don't know, but when I think about last night's game and I think about the other game that we witnessed less than a week ago between the same 2 teams, it was a completely different sort of, there was no momentum last night. I felt like it was really stop, start, stop, start. And it was for both sides almost. And it was actually really hard to get into it, except for that last over where AJ Tice got a hat trick.
Yeah,
and that
which
was the,
great.
I was glad I was stayed awake for that point. But yeah, I'm a bit worried about the Heat because we did think that they were going to do so well. And now Lynn's gone.
And also the news with Brendan McCullum. So.
Yes.
They have lost him for their next match because of an overrate suspension. So the Heat took 96 minutes to complete their innings with the ball in hand, and that exceeds the 90-minute allowance. So the Heat were the team to beat, but now without Chris Lynn, let's see what happens.
Yeah, and I didn't know that was a thing. Did you? I didn't know that they had to be done by a certain time.
I actually knew that because it's a 3-hour game. So when I read that, I was like, oh, yeah, that absolutely makes sense. But, yeah, so that was sort of the first thing that I wanted to talk about. And then my second moment, which was definitely a highlight, was the Thunder taking their second win this season with a 6-wicket win over the Hurricanes. And I was really happy to see Shane Watson return to his best. Mm-hmm. He's not someone that's one of my favourite players, but he missed the start of the season because of injury and had only managed scores of 0, 3 and 3 up to that point. So he scored 55 off 31 balls, including 5 sixes. And a big welcome to our new recruits, James Vince and Carlos Braithwaite. I'm hoping that it's only up from here for the Thunder.
Well, there's that awesome story with Carlos Braithwaite coming out during the week that none of his cricket gear was here.
Yeah, because he'd flown over so quickly and that's why he had to borrow Pat Cummins' shoes and Hayley Matthews' bat.
Oh, and his pants were way too short. They were ankle freezers, so they were clearly borrowed off someone else too. That was very funny.
And his triple dab. How do you feel about dabbing, Brit? Because we saw Usman Khawaja dab last week.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Among my friends, I'm a bit infamous for it. I sort of just do it to get a reaction.
Oh, you dab? You're a dabber?
Yeah, only because I know it gets a reaction and people are like, oh, you're so silly. But it's just a bit of fun. I don't really think there's anything else to it, but it was very funny, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a triple dab. And there you go, listeners of Ladies Who Legspin, Brittany Carter is a dabber. I hope that doesn't mean that you stop listening. If it helps, I'm not a dabber, so we're sort of balanced here. Brit, what did you
Mary's
love?
Mary's the cool one. I'm not the cool one.
No, I'm certainly not the cool one. I take great pleasure in being uncool, Brit. What did you love this week about the Big Bash?
Something that I noticed that isn't really cricket related is that we've seen so many beautiful sunsets on TV during cricket matches this summer, whether it's been at Adelaide Oval, at the Gabba. We've seen some spectacular ones, haven't we?
We have. And last night, one of our listeners, Kate Wall, she tweeted a beautiful sunset from the Gabba and the Brisbane Heat retweeted it. So keep up the great work, Kate. She's such a fan of cricket and it's such a joy to see.
The other highlight for me was seeing Ben Hilfenhaus redeem himself against the Adelaide Strikers after bowling that terrible, terrible over that had a bit of everything in his last game against the Sydney Thunder, where he conceded 16 runs off that final over. He came out and he took 2 wickets for 21 runs earlier in the match and then came out in the end of it and made 46 runs off 34 balls. There was 1 run required from the 4 balls left in that match and he chipped that safely to the boundary behind backward point. So it was cool to see him redeem himself and become the unlikely hero in that match. And the other highlight that I have for you today is that that mix-up between Joe Burns and skipper Brendan McCullum in the game last night.
The new Bash Brothers. Yeah. They literally bashed.
Yeah. Very, very funny. So Joe Burns and Brendan McCullum, eyes up to the sky, going for this catch, heading towards the boundary. Joe Burns caught the ball. Brendan McCullum didn't see him, ran sort of sideways into the back of him and pushed him over the over the rope, so it ended up going for 6 runs.
So I think this is another indication of me not being up to cricket Nuffy standard yet. But obviously, if you take a catch and then run over the boundary...
Oh, if you fall or if you drop it, yeah.
Yeah, it's no longer
a
catch.
It goes for 6.
That's such a shame. It was such a good catch. Far out.
And Brendan McCullum was mic'd up at the time too, and all he could do was laugh. Like, the two of them just sort of looked at each other and were like, crap. Did that just happen?
We've made a mistake.
And on TV, where everyone can replay it a million times.
And turn it into great memes and GIFs.
We'll be back in a second, and we're going to talk to the amazing Holly Furling. She's one of the most recognisable stars in the women's game, but many might not know how fast her rise to the top was. Holly Furling is known as the fast bowler from the Southern Stars with the trademark ribbon and zinc look, but not many would know that she actually made her debut in men's grade cricket at the age of 14, where she took a hat-trick with her first 3 balls. Holly, what are some of your other most memorable moments during your playing career?
I think any time that you win a World Cup with the Southern Stars has been pretty unreal, but also to win the Ashes over in England, something that the boys didn't end up doing that year, but no, it was something that we had kind of set the goal for plenty of years in advance. We wanted those Ashes back, and to go over there for a 2-month tour and to actually do it was pretty unreal.
Holly, when you first started fast bowling, you had never heard of the Southern Stars. How much has changed for women's cricket in the last 5 years?
Honestly, it's unreal. I started when I was 12, and it probably wasn't until a few years in that I actually knew that the Southern Stars existed. So, and then from then, I grew up idolising Elise Perry. So now we go along to clinics and there's girls that are 6 years old and younger that already have aspirations of playing in the WBBL and to play alongside some of the girls in the Southern Stars. So, look, it's been unbelievable, and I think too now, like, you, so many of our players are getting recognised around the grounds, but I think likewise too, there's like more television deals on the table and everything like that. So women's cricket and women's sport is definitely growing, and for it to happen in the last couple of years, it's been an absolute whirlwind, and it's just going from strength to strength.
So we love the Women's Big Bash on this show, and unfortunately you've only been able to play 4 games for the Brisbane Heat this season. You guys are sitting 5th though on the ladder with 5 wins. How would you sort of sum up the season so far?
I think 50% is kind of how we would sum it up. We keep winning the first and then losing the second, so against each of the teams. So, look, it's a funny game, the WBBL. I mean, we saw with the Sixers last year, they had a bit of a clean sweep right towards the end, which got them into finals. So every team, I think, at the moment is still in it, and it's going to be crucial, those last 4 games, as to who makes the top 4. It's quite scary that, I mean, the Sixers have been dominating the comp, but they could also not make the top 4, I think, depending on these last 4 games. So I think everyone's going to be relying on everyone else winning and losing in order to make it. But I think that's what makes the Big Bash so exciting, both women's and men's, is you're able to, teams come out of nowhere that can end up winning the tournament. Everything's so evenly placed, and we've got some absolute superstars playing in our competition, which makes the comp even more interesting.
You mentioned those absolute superstars. You've had some great international signings for the Heat. I mean, I was unfortunate to see DeAndre Dodden go, but now you've had Lauren Winfield step in and replace her spot. And you've also got Smriti Mandana there. What's it like having those few players in your team?
They've contributed so much to the group. They've fitted in really well. I think in Queensland, we like to have a bit of a laugh and a bit of a joke, and it's and I guess the same culture is applied across to the Brisbane Heat, and these girls have really embraced it. So it's been unfortunate for DeAndra. She was an absolute superstar in the first couple of rounds, but I think she's on the comeback. She was at training today, hitting some tennis balls and everything like that. So she'll be looking to try and come back for the back half, hopefully. Provided she gets the doctor's clearance. But look, to have Smriti and then Loz Winfield also come in was quite fortunate for us. She played for us last year, and she's an absolute ripper. So, looking forward to playing alongside those girls in these last few games. And it's quite sad. You make all these friends, and then next thing, the season's over and you're back playing against each other at international level.
Holly, according to Twitter, your dream is to be the fastest bowler in the world. What do you need to do to make that dream a reality?
I think it's just being consistent and to try and be, I guess, the most threatening bowler in the world, I guess. You look at the likes of Catherine Brunt and the best bowlers in the world, they're constantly taking wickets, and I think that kind of adds to the whole fear and the whole pace and everything like that. If you're taking wickets, batters aren't going to be wanting to face you too much. So that's something that I've got to continue to do. I had a really good pre-season this year, getting nice and strong and everything like that. So I think these next few years will be just continuing to build on that and maintaining a lot of that throughout every season that I play. And then hopefully that I can try and get there.
Something that was really interesting in that video was that you mentioned that you know you're not the typical fast bowler because you find yourself a little bit of a girly girl compared to some of the others, and you also don't have that menacing look when you come in to pitch a fast ball at someone. You've got a big smile on your face. So do you find it hard to intimidate people in that way?
I always like to think that I try and let the ball do the talking. I think particularly in the men's game, a whole heap of them kind of get a bit caught up in the heat of the battle and everything like that.
But Marianne Kapp and, you know, Catherine Brunt, they're pretty full on too.
They are. I think you can still be true to who you want to be and everything like that. But I think, yeah, I like to let the ball do the talking. And someone actually said to me once that it's almost just as intimidating you coming down and smiling, because I don't know what's coming next.
Holly, you're the self-proclaimed girly girl of your team. Now, how do you respond to the stereotype that women in sport are not feminine? Because that's something that I hear a lot and I know is completely untrue.
Yeah, no, I completely disagree with that as well. I think, actually, Elise Villani put it really well in one of her videos, and she said, for every young girl growing up, there is a role model within the Southern Stars, within the WBBL, that they can aspire to be. And it's not whether you be a girly girl, whether you love getting out and playing as many sports as possible, and Elise as an example as a gay athlete as well. There's so many role models now, and I completely disagree that it isn't feminine and whatnot, but I think that's come from I guess the old stigma of it's the gentleman's game and everything like that. But I think a whole heap of us are setting out to prove everyone wrong, that this is a game that women play and girls can play, and it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what you stand for, this is a game for you.
We keep coming back to these ribbons that we know you're so famous for, but when did you start wearing them, and have you noticed that a lot of other little girls are turning up wearing them too to the games?
Yeah, I started wearing it, I think I was in an under-15s tournament, and I just had one spare, and because I always grew up playing netball, so I always had a ribbon in my hair at school or playing netball, so I just wore one once and it just kind of stuck. I think before then I had the sweatband, so I'm glad that I parted ways with the sweatband. But no,
it's a bit old
honestly
school, isn't it?
So humbling. Oh yeah, yep, absolutely, and it hurts your ears by the end of the game, but no, it's really humbling now to see so many girls wearing a ribbon, whether it be their team colours or a white ribbon as well. It's honestly, it's something that I never thought would end up being, I guess, something that kind of stuck with me. But it has, and yeah, I love it. It's honestly, I'm still the young girl in Kingaroy who watched the Southern Stars on TV. It's been a bit of a crazy few years, and I still pinch myself every day that I'm in the situation that I am.
Holly, I've been really enjoying your cricket commentary over Twitter during the games you've been watching. Two questions. Who's your favourite commentator in the Big Bash? And when are we going to see you in the commentary box?
I love Adam Gilchrist. He's awesome. And then Mel Jones as well. I think she's got the perfect voice for commentary. It's something that I haven't passed up yet. I think I'd like to one day, whether it's now or later on. But I'd love to have a crack at commentary one day. I did a little bit with Mel Jones when I was injured back in, I think it was 2014 or something, when the Southern Stars were playing Pakistan, and when we had a live, I think it was the first time that we had a live stream going. So I got my first taste there. But no, it's heaps of fun, and no, hopefully one day there's more opportunities. But I think the likes of Lisa Salaker and Mel Jones, in the positions that they are now, they're kind of leading the way for the rest of the women to come through the commentary, which is awesome. So it's so good to see them doing well.
Happy birthday for last month. You had your birthday during the women's Big Bash season. Lucky you. Can we ask what you did for it? Considered you turned 21 and most kids would be, you know, out partying at this stage, and you're in the nets every day instead.
thank you. No, I had training on my birthday, and then I went out for dinner that night, but then I did actually end up having a party, and because fortunately we had a bit of a break in the WBBL. We played the weekend before and then weren't playing until Boxing Day. So I had a bit of a party with some friends, family, and then also the Brisbane Heat girls. So it was awesome to get out with a few of those girls and I guess socialise away from cricket.
In terms of your representation for Australia, you've played 3 tests now, 22 one-dayers and 9 T20 internationals, and you've only batted in 6 of those one-dayers and 1 T20 international. Do you enjoy batting, or have you always been a bit of a bowler?
It's funny, a lot of the Southern Stars have changed skills at some point throughout their career, but I've always just been a bowler. My story is quite boring, but I do enjoy my batting. And I actually really enjoy playing 2020 with your batting, because I think regardless of what situation the team is in, often when you're coming in towards the bottom end, you're just trying to score as many runs as you can because you know there's only 3 or 4 overs left.
So you just have a wrap,
meanwhile, do you? One. That's it. You can just you've got a license to just hit the ball as hard as you can. But I think with one days, it makes it a little bit trickier because one days has plenty of time for plenty of different things to go on, so you could be coming in with one over to go and score as many runs as you can, similar to 2020, or you could be coming in the 30th over with 20 overs to go and you've got to try and last the last 20 overs. So that in itself presents a bit of a challenge, but I think all the bowlers like to think of themselves as batters.
Holly, before we let you go, are you a cat or a dog person?
Well, I like both, but I have a cat at the moment, and he is the best thing ever.
Mary's been a little bit sneaky here. Sorry, Mary's been a little bit sneaky here. She's looked up your Instagram and she loves your cat. That's why she's brought it.
It's Chuck.
His name is Chuck. He's got attitude to the max, but he's so funny because he's a ragdoll. He's got a very dog-like personality. So it's not uncommon for me to find pegs and whatnot on my bed that he's brought in from the balcony outside, because he just carries things around in his mouth like a dog. So he's hilarious and provides plenty of laughs, that's for sure.
Sounds like you've got the best of both worlds in the cat and dog aspect there. When will we see you back for the Brisbane Heat, Holly?
Hopefully soon. I've got a couple of fitness tests to pass over the next few weeks, but I'm hoping I'll be back before the end of the season.
Well, good luck, Holly. Good luck with the injury, and we can't wait to see you back.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is
What's in the inbox this week, Mary?
So I have to shout out to my new favourite local cricket team, the St George Sutherland Slayers, and I met a couple of the team members on the weekend. So a big hello to PJ, Megan, Macca, Ibby and Steph. I know you all listen to the show, so a big thank you. And I'm definitely on the Slayers bandwagon now.
Big thanks to Stu for saving me a Zupa Duper at the end of the game too. Last time I went to Hurstville Oval, it was too hot and they ran out.
So why didn't I get one, Stu? Far out. I can tell who your favourite host of the show is. It's clearly Brittany. I like Zupa Dupers as well.
Oh, hint, hint, nudge, nudge. I'd like to do a shout out to one of our dedicated listeners, Georgia, who I actually played cricket against last Saturday. So Georgia plays for Uni Golds, and she had a great first game against us in the T20 comp. She made 11 runs opening the batting and took 1 for 22 and dismissed our opener, Steph. So it was lovely to meet you, Georgia. And if anyone else happens to see us around or play against me, please say hello. I love meeting you all, and Mary does too.
Yeah, I definitely do. So my next one goes to Corinne Hall from the Hobart Hurricanes. Now, most of you will have seen this photo doing the rounds, but there is a beautiful photo of a little girl named Piper basically staring adoringly at her hero, Corinne Hall. For me, that's what the WBBL is all about, and I just love the photo. I might share it one more time tonight.
Shout out to the men's Queensland country team and the women's East Asia Pacific team, who won their respective titles at the Australian Country Cricket Championships in Wollongong. The East Asia Pacific women's team saw Norma Ovasuru make 42 not out and their captain Pork Siaka make 41 net out to lead their side to a victory with an unbroken 98-run stand to chase down Victoria Country's total of 99. Well done, girls.
And finally, I just wanted to mention Alex Blackwell, who is up for Sports Personality of the Year at the LGBTIQ Awards. Now, this is hard because she's up against some of my other favourite sportswomen like Michelle Heyman and Lauren Jackson. But if you love your cricket and you love Alex Blackwell, head to the LGBTIQ Awards and put your vote in.
Now, Mary, what are you looking forward to this weekend?
So, believe it or not, Brittany, the reason we are recording early this week is because I have a wedding in Melbourne this weekend, so I will be missing all of the cricket.
That is so inconsiderate. Why would they schedule that during the Big Bash?
I don't know, but it is one of my very best friends in the world. So congratulations, Jono and Charlotte. Everyone please tweet at Ladies Who League for the entire day because I want to be kept up to date with everything that's happening. Every ball, every wicket, every moment. I don't want to miss a thing. And I promise to share plenty of snaps with you from the wedding. The big problem, and don't tell anyone this, Brett, is that I'm actually going to be wearing a magenta dress.
No, on the day of the Sydney Derby.
So Sydney Thunder, please don't disown me. Brett, I assume you'll be heading out to the Derby, but the question is, which one?
So this was tough because the A-League are playing the Wanderers and the Sydney FC match at the Sydney Football Stadium next to the SCG, where our Sydney Thunder will play the Sydney Sixers. So I was a bit torn, especially because the Sixers have been more informed than the Thunder, and I was worried that I'd, you know, pick the wrong form of sport to go to that night. But I have decided to go to the cricket.
Yay!
It's a sellout crowd pretty much. Mm-hmm. You can only buy single tickets now. So if anyone is thinking about going, jump on those while
quickly,
you can.
And make sure you go by yourself because there's really no other way.
Nah, I'm sure you'll find some friends next year.
All of Sydney will be there except for me, who will be in Melbourne.
Even if you're heading along by yourself, there's plenty of cricket nuffies. I'm sure that you can join in and cheer whichever side you're going for that night.
Come on the Thunder. They need to win these games in both the men's and the women's. So please, Thunder, come on.
You say that, but you're also wearing a pink shirt right now. So are you sort of like a closet Sydney Sixers fan? What's going on?
I just really like the colour pink. Who wears lime green? Who?
Yeah.
Do you wear lime green?
When I go to the game, otherwise no.
I have a black Ladies Who League spin shirt with green writing. That's the best that I can do. But my heart is definitely with the Thunder and Maisie Gibson. Maisie Gibson forever.
We love her shimmy, don't we?
We do.
We're going to shimmy right out of here very shortly.
I think it's probably time we shimmy out of here, Britt. What do you think?
We're very tired after all the cricket, so we've been a bit delirious today. Thanks for listening, as always. Subscribe, leave us a review.
And vote for us in the Castaway Podcast Awards. We're still running fourth, so we're looking to all of you to cast your vote. And thanks for the amazing reviews. We absolutely love them.
Yeah, we really do appreciate it. Thank you, everyone. Mary, do you want to say goodbye?
You've been listening to Ladies Who Leg Spin.
It's in the air, and it's taken! What a catch! My goodness me! Jess Johnson, have a look at the smile!
Finger goal jab, excellent over so far from Deandra Dutton.
You're listening to Ladies Who Legs.